In the name of God, hello and greetings to all the dear members of Arad Branding Company. I hope you are all feeling great and doing well. We are here with an educational podcast on the topic of a successful sales factory. Previously, we discussed the sales pipeline process and how a sale is achieved. And today, we want to talk about the broader topic of factory management. If you want to engage in business, what factors should you pay attention to? Many people, aside from business, have a strong interest in production and factory management. In factory management, we observe three processes, just as we do in sales. These three processes are also seen in life, and we need these three processes to achieve the desired outcome. So let's examine what these three processes are: planting, nurturing, and harvesting. These are the three factors you need to fulfill your dreams. If you want to start a factory, set up a production line, or launch a production unit, you actually need several factors and prerequisites that must be prepared before starting any work. In a factory, you need a series of infrastructures, and all infrastructures involve cost. Nothing comes for free. Now, let's examine how infrastructure helps us, how much it costs, and whether it is even worthwhile to pursue this path. And if it isn't, what consequences will arise? Will I still be able to grow or not? If you listen to and understand all these points and apply them, you will certainly experience good outcomes. When it comes to your factory, whether it is a production factory or a sales factory, because these are two separate entities, the production factory solely produces goods, while the sales factory sells the produced goods. These are two distinct factories. Some people struggle to understand this process and think these two factories are one. No, that's not the case at all. The sales department has its own dedicated offices and tasks, while the supply and production departments handle their specific tasks. The sales team often has little knowledge of production conditions, and the production team is generally unaware of sales conditions. They may not even know the norms of selling. These are two entirely different groups, each responsible for doing their job well in their respective fields. First, let's talk about the production factory, and later we'll discuss the sales factory. In the process of planting, nurturing, and even harvesting in your production factory, you are simply incurring costs and not generating any income. Pay close attention to this, everyone. In the production process that I am about to undertake, the planting stage involves costs. The nurturing stage involves only cost, and there is no profitability for you. Even in the harvesting stage, it is all just expenses, meaning that in all three stages, you're only spending money without earning anything back. That means money is only going out of your pocket and no money has come in yet. When someone wants to start a production factory, the first thing they do is assess the environmental conditions. Each of these points I'm mentioning, the headlines I'm giving you, involves costs. For example, assessing the environmental conditions, considering political factors, evaluating the economic situation of that location, examining cultural conditions, discussing technology, environmental issues, and obtaining the necessary permits. All these things require you to gradually spend money. You must invest to create the right conditions for this process or this production factory. In the end, you will have a space, a large facility, where you can carry out your production activities. You'll set it up and say, I want to work in this place. Up until now, there is no income. We have only spent money. We've identified the location, and then we equip it air conditioning, heat systems, cleanliness of the hall, ensuring the space is hygienic and whatsoever. All these things require spending money, and still, there is no income yet. I'm just building for the future, meaning nothing. When setting up a factory, there are several critical aspects to consider, one of which is the environmental conditions. Another crucial factor is machinery. As a specialist or expert, you need to examine whether the machinery you acquire is flexible. You should also analyze your competitors. What machines are they using? And what is their production capacity? The maintenance and upkeep of these machines are also essential. The cost of the machinery itself is one thing, but the cost of setting it up and getting it running is another. Starting up the machine, getting it operational, lubricating it, and assembling it all involve additional expenses. Another factor is the availability of parts and services. If a part in the machinery breaks down, do you need to travel to China to replace it, or can it be sourced locally? This can be a significant hassle. Consider the example of a car. When your brake pads wear out, you need to be sure that replacement parts are readily available. Otherwise, the car might as well be thrown away. Another issue to consider is waste and malfunction rates. Any machine, even something as simple as a printer, can have issues. For example, when you load multiple sheets into a printer, it might crumple the pages or smudge the ink when the cartridge is running low. These are points that need careful consideration, because so far you're just spending money without seeing any returns. The weight of the equipment is also important. What happens if the machine encounters a problem and needs to be moved? Moving heavy equipment comes with its own set of challenges. Then there is a matter of sourcing the equipment. Where do you get it from? And what about the space required for these machines? You might have a large warehouse, but once you start bringing in machinery, you need to assess how much space is actually needed. If you plan to expand, will you need additional complementary machines, or will the existing ones become obsolete and need to be replaced? These also incur costs. Next, consider the fuel consumption. What powers the machine? Is it electricity, gasoline, or gas? Do you have access to the necessary fuel? This is another cost factor to evaluate. Then there's the matter of personnel. Who will operate and support the machine? You need skilled operators to ensure the machine functions properly. These two must be taken into account. How long will the machine last? How long can it serve you effectively? Another consideration is the delivery and set up the machine. When will the machine be delivered? When will it be installed and operational? It might take a week to arrive and then another week to have the installation team come and set it up. Sign off on the warranty and ensure everything is running. This isn't like buying a treadmill where anything is ready to go. A machine that needs to be manufactured, delivered, and installed will take time, and this time costs money. You could have been earning money during this period, but instead, you're waiting. Finally, what kind of support is available for these machines? If the machine breaks down, is there a support team available? Parts need to be backed up, and there must be technicians ready to assist with any issues. These are all factors that need thorough consideration when setting up a factory. All of these aspects come with their own challenges, especially when it comes to the periodic maintenance cost. Just like you have to service an elevator in your apartment building regularly, large machinery in a factory also requires regular servicing, whether it's monthly, quarterly, or biannually. You can't use it without upkeep. It needs constant attention, which incurs ongoing costs. Safety and precision in the construction of machinery are other vital considerations. The issues of pollution, wear and tear, and the scrap value of equipment also play significant roles. For instance, if a part of a machine breaks down, it might be more cost-effective to discard it rather than repair it. Sometimes the cost of repairs exceeds the cost of buying a new one. All of this means that you are constantly spending money. You've assessed the location and environmental factors, paid for and installed the machinery. But are you done? No, you still need to invest in raw materials. Once you've secured the raw materials like milk for dairy products, you also need to consider other ingredients depending on what you're producing, such as sugar, vanilla, or cacao. If you're making ice cream, for instance, each product has its own set of raw materials, and securing these also costs money. You continue to spend without seeing any profit yet. It's all expenses. Then there's the human resources aspect. You need to hire workers, insure them, and pay their salaries. You also have to think about overtime pay, if applicable, and set up an accounting system to manage finances. So securing human resources is another expenditure. What about fuel and energy? Have you arranged for electricity, gas, water, oil, or whatever is needed to power your machinery? You must ensure that all these utilities are in place to keep the production running smoothly. Even once you've sorted out the utilities, there's still the matter of storage. After production, the goods need to be stored properly. Do you have a warehouse system? Do you have the necessary transportation equipment like forklifts to move products around? You'll need to spend money on these as well. The storage environment must be suitable, perhaps requiring refrigeration or specific humidity levels to preserve the products until they're sold. These two requires investment. Finally, there's the distribution system to get the products out of the warehouse and into the hands of consumers. You need to identify and reach out to potential buyers who are willing to pay for your goods. Up until this point, all of these steps are part of the production process. Next comes the sales process. If both production and sales are not managed well, it can negatively impact the entire operation. The key question then becomes, who is taking the most risk? Who is investing the most? And who is putting in the most effort? The person or entity that does all these should ideally reap the most reward. The process of planting, cultivating, and harvesting in a factory involves setting up machinery, employing human resources, providing energy, and securing raw materials, all of which lead to the production phase. Once the product is manufactured, it goes through the harvesting phase, packaged, stored in the warehouse, and finally sold, with profits expected to follow. The same process that occurs in the production factory also happens in the sales process. The factory waits for its products to be sold. And who sells them? Often a small team is brought in to handle this, sometimes just one or two people. Those who are not familiar with the sales process often hire individuals who conduct sales training courses. They enter into contracts, pay them, and ask them to train their sales team members. The trainer provides some training, and the manufacturing plan ends up covering the trainer's costs. In the end, the manufacturing plan expects the trained sales team, typically around 10 to 20 managers, to sell the products they have produced. However, the plan does not establish a separate sales department. The reason they don't is that they've already spent a significant amount of money and want to see if their current team can handle the sales. They set many conditions and say, if this happens, then I will set up a separate sales department. But setting up a sales department is a different story, and I have repeatedly advised merchants to sell before producing. Even before inventing, you should be able to sell your idea before it even reaches production. Initially, having a sales department should be a priority, since the manufacturing plant often does not want or cannot afford to set up a separate sales department. It waits and hopes for government or economic supporters to help the products to be sold. They plead, "I've only spent money, sold my assets to get into the economic cycle. Why isn't anyone supporting me? Please give me a loan so I can pay my employees. I don't have sales." Unfortunately, they feel that no one listens to them, and even when officials do, they act as if they haven't heard them. The problem was sales. You need to create your sales department first. When they see that the specific support they need isn't materializing, they turn to any means. Even selling below cost, they are eventually forced to cut jobs, close the factory, and sell all the equipment. Now they have to sell unsold new goods as second-hand items to someone like themselves, who also doesn't understand sales and is likely to face bankruptcy in the future. We've often said that energy doesn't disappear, but changes from one from the other. But these states create a vicious cycle. They need traders to come in and set up the sales infrastructure that the manufacturers have already established for their production. Traders need to set up the sales operations to ensure that produced goods are sold. In summary, the manufacturing process involves a lot of costs and no income. Therefore, dear traders, you need to set up your own sales operations. Manufacturers are only and absolutely dependent on you. They no longer want to incur costs. They've already spent large sums, sometimes tens or hundreds of billions, invested everything into production, and from their perspective, there's no significant support. When they can't sell, what should they do? They need money to keep their operations running. They keep borrowing money, covering expenses, and paying wages without being able to say, "I'll sell once I pay you." The production factory has its own production employees who say, "We've worked, now what will you do with the product if you sold it? Good for you. If not, what about us?" When this happens, the factory is under pressure and it doesn't know what to do. It becomes frustrated and confused. Before production, you must establish your own sales department. So this is the best opportunity for you to leverage the investment you've made. You might be wondering how to utilize all the capital you've spent. How can you make use of this opportunity? It's a chance for you and a challenge for the factory. How can you set up your own manufacturing business to take control of its sales? The factory now needs you more than ever. It no longer needs accountants or production workers. With all this production, it becomes clear that the only ones who can save it are traders who can buy the products and inject money into the factory. When a factory doesn't know what to do, it desperately searches for investors to pay employee wages, provide fuel, and buy raw materials. Investors who are often unaware might put in their money only to find that there's no return on investment because the factory hasn't sold anything. The factory then turns to be getting help from the investor and says, "I have goods, but you could buy them from me at a cheaper price." The investor asks, "What will I do with the goods? I'm a trader. I need to sell them." So, dear ones, understand this. The economy of this country runs on the efforts of its traders. Without traders, production alone leads to bankruptcy and disaster. You might regret your actions wish you had understood more or realized sooner. Even if I, as a teacher, had come and told you, many wouldn't have listened. They have said, we produce and God is great, which I've said many times, but wisdom and destiny are different. God is great and his actions are just wise. Without wisdom, you don't see it. God is great for great people, not for those who act unwisely and expect miracles. Many producers are entangled in such concepts, and misunderstanding them leads to unfortunate outcomes, but this is an excellent opportunity for those involved in sales. We need to create a sales department now with minimal investment. With very little investment, you can even start from scratch without a single penny. Starting from zero means you don't need to spend money initially. You need the skills, effort, and time. Money accelerates the process, enhances results, and bridges gaps. It speeds up the journey, turning a 10-year path into a 1-year path, or a 100-year journey into a 1-year one. Money shortens the time needed to reach your goals. Without money, it might take 20 years. With money, you can accelerate it. You can start trading with zero investment, but it will take several years to see results. Trading with capital is faster, and that's the exact role of money. But now, let's discuss the sales department process. We have fully explained the manufacturing process, so let's focus on the sales process as well. In a sales department, the planting phase involves generating leads. Leads are potential customers who show interest in buying. You need to either find or create these leads. In other words, you need to identify or generate people who are interested in your product. The lead generation process is crucial and will be discussed in various meetings and podcasts. And details are available on the branding website. The production of leads is the core of the sales process's planting phase. But lead generation itself requires specific tools, which is another story. I said that in a manufacturing plant, we need electricity. But how electricity is produced? What components and equipment are required? And what infrastructure is needed to make the machines run in a different story? We didn't delve into how electricity works, how plumbing should be set up, or how heating and cooling systems should be managed. We only covered the basics and didn't go into details. Similarly, in sales, you need to understand the basics of lead generation, but later you'll need to dive into the specifics of implementation. In the process of preparing for lead generation, you need to be ready to connect with potential customers. Those who are ready to spend money, what does it mean for them to smell money? It means they have money in hand and are ready to spend it. And this money could end up in your pocket. As a trader, it's essential to be prepared. Set goals, refine your dialogue, prepare your pitch, and get ready to present yourself effectively. You need to clean up your list of leads, removing irrelevant ones, and keeping the promising ones. You must also handle any leads that are in between. The initial contact with the lead can be through a message, a voice note, a phone call, or a face-to-face meeting. There are different communication channels, phone, social networks, messaging apps, email, newsletters, websites, and in-person meetings. These are all communication tools. The first contact should be through text, voice, or visual means, or it could be a direct face-to-face interaction. Just like in manufacturing, where training is crucial for human resources, the sales process also requires training on how to effectively communicate and handle leads. Acquiring skills and knowledge is essential for success. Learning never stops, whether it's understanding sales processes, establishing connections, or mastering negotiation techniques. Ongoing education is key. When you make contact,
You must present your product, your brand, and yourself effectively to earn the customer's trust so they are willing to invest their money in your pocket. Even if you don't own a manufacturing plant, understanding the importance of presenting yourself and your product is vital. When you say my factory, it means the factory you collaborate with, the one that meets your needs and supports your interests. Now you need to introduce your factory to customers, just as you would introduce your religion, your nationality, and your personal identity. Understand these concepts well and apply them to how you present your factory and yourself to potential customers. Even if the entire land of Iran were registered in my name, it doesn't mean that the factory is legally owned by me. That's not how it works. You need to correct these misconceptions and be prepared for negotiation. When you start negotiating, you will certainly encounter objections from customers. I previously discussed in a podcast that no salesperson hasn't heard no from customers. All salespeople have faced objections. I need to manage and counter these no's to convert them into yes. If a customer says they don't want to work with you, you need to understand the reasons and resolve them. Once you address their objections, you aim to turn their answer into a yes. In my sale process, I need to manage objections and turn them into positive responses. After understanding these objections, I must determine the status of my leads, whether they are ready to buy now or need more time. Even if I've addressed all their concerns and there's no excuse left for not buying, I need to assess whether they are ready to purchase today or need more time to decide. As sales managers and traders, we need to track our customers and ensure that they are retained. If I have resolved all their concerns and removed all their objections, but a competitor ends up making the sale because I didn't follow up or didn't manage customer retention properly, it's a problem. Each step I mentioned has its own specific training, exercises, and skills. Now moving on to the harvest stage, which involves receiving payment and closing contracts. Just like the planting process had one step, lead generation, the harvesting process also has one step. Receiving payment and closing contracts. The manufacturing plant has successfully learned how to sell products. Those who saved us as the ones who ensured that our employees are now helpful, not afraid, and working happily. If a manufacturing plant doesn't produce, it affects everyone involved in the supply chain, farmers, livestock breeders, and other small retailers. Through this sales process, everyone earns their livelihood. Understand the position you are in and the role you play in this world. Provision is being distributed through this group. It's wonderful that through excellent traders, we can increase provision. We need customers, and with a population of 90 million in Iran and 8 billion globally, we should consider the global population. If I want to increase the provision for everyone in my land, I hope these concepts are understood correctly and good things happen. Let's stand firm and not be afraid. These are experts, trainers, consultants, and mentors who guide and support everyone. I hope that a great trade will emerge in this country through all traders and branding efforts. I wish you well until the next training session. May you be in God's care. Goodbye and have a great day.